KBOO would like to thank our community partners that donated food for our volunteers today. Breakfast was provided by Simpatica Dining Hall, located at 828 Southeast Ash, with private dining for celebrations, family gatherings, and corporate meetings. Rental info at simpaticapdx.com. Lunch was provided by Sweet Basil Thai Cuisine, located at 3135 Northeast Broadway, serving home-style Thai food, representing a wide array of dishes cooked by Thai chefs. Dinner was provided by Ling Garden, located at 915 Northwest 21st Avenue, serving Northern Chinese cuisine for lunch, dinner, and delivery. Produce was provided this week by Grocery Getter Organic, specializing in home delivery of organic groceries. Grocery Getter Organic is an independently owned local small business. For more information, their website is ggetter.com.
You are listening to KBOO Portland. It is now 8 a.m. Stay tuned for Positively Revolting.
What would you have instead?
This is it.
There comes a time when every second, every day, when every action, every thought will tell the world. You cast your vote.
Good morning, good morning. It's 2 minutes after 8 o'clock in the morning. You are listening to Positively Revolting. I'm Ani.
I'm Lynn.
And here we are together. And today we are excited to have with us Linda Tirado. Linda is on the phone with us this morning. She's the author of Hand to Mouth, Living in Bootstrap America. It's a firsthand account of poverty in this country and what it's like to be working class, working poor, and poor, and the fluidity between those ranks. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning. I'm happy to be here.
We are thrilled to have you with us. I love your book. I'm going to flat out say it.
Thank you.
It's going to be a little hard not to do the hero worship thing because your observations are so sharp. They're so astute. And it comes through with the most wonderful biting humor. And to that end, you started off with an essay, I understand, Why I Make Terrible Decisions or Poverty Thoughts, that ended up going viral and more or less led to the process of you actually writing this book, Hand to Mouth. Is that right?
Sort of. It wasn't even to the level of essay. It was a super long comment on a message board. It wasn't even like, so when people say like, it sort of went viral, I'm like, no, I was talking to my friends on the internet. And then I woke up and the Huffington Post was like, can we front page you?
Right.
I was at work one day and I came home and it was game over. What's actually been really interesting about the response to the book is that everybody, like, you can almost tell somebody's class background from the reaction to it, because everybody who's worked kind of in the service sector automatically gets that I am using a fair bit of mockery and humor to kind of make light of what's really a terrible subject. And then everybody who's from kind of an upper class background is like, wow, this book is just brutal. Like, you're terrifying. But I was telling jokes the whole time. I don't understand.
But humor born of real life experience, and I guess that is terrifying when folks that have not had to think about these issues are suddenly confronted with them.
Well, I liked how Barbara Ehrenreich, in her introduction to the book, first of all, that's always good for me. It attracts me to something if Barbara Ehrenreich writes an introduction and says she was waiting for this book to be written. But people are that want to talk about issues of poverty, or what Barbara did was nickel and dimed, live the life, sort of, and then couldn't wait to get out. And this is your life. You came to it with an honesty that only real life experience can bring, I think.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, I much respect to Barbara. She's a fantastic, fantastic reporter, a lovely woman, and does the work properly.
And she's really funny, too.
Yeah.
As
yeah,
well. No, she's biting great, biting humor, yeah.
But, you know, there is a difference between knowing that you're stuck doing this for the next 6 months for an assignment and knowing that you're probably stuck doing this for the next 30 years for your life.
Howdy, yeah.
And,
yeah.
And I think that really honestly is the only difference as far as I can see between what I've written and what she does. I definitely use more curse words because I'm not an actual reporter. I'm a night cook, but, but when it comes down to it, it was the same sorts of math of like, okay, here's how much you make at minimum wage. Here's how much your rent is. You tell me how this is workable. And a fair bit of like, wow, all of this actually makes sense if you're living it, which was really the whole point. Is, you know, somebody had left a message and said, look, I was at the store today, and I'm you know, a liberal, and I'm gracious like I'm supposed to be, but you know, I do get irritated when I see the poor person with a iPhone in the food stamps, and someone remind me why I'm not supposed to feel, you know, irritated or judgmental. And I was like, oh, buddy, I know that one. Mm-hmm. And it's because you can't take a 30-second snapshot of somebody's life and assume that you know the first thing about that person. And that's really what it comes down to, is do we give people who are working hard in this country the respect that they deserve for being autonomous adults, or do we assume that we know better than they do simply because our bank accounts are bigger?
And that really is, I mean, just that is the nugget of the societal attitude that if we are poor, if we are on public assistance, if we are having to do the two jobs and make hard choices all the time, that obviously we're just not that bright. If we were smarter, we'd be richer. Is that?
Yeah, well, I mean, what we needed to do was A, be born to wealthy parents, and then B, be born in a country that, you know, prioritized jobs for the broad population. As we failed miserably at both of those things, clearly we can just be written off. And what's been really funny is that people keep telling me, like, oh, you're living the American dream, and my God, I have been a rocket. Like, I left a comment on an internet message board, and a year later, I'm an internationally published author that, you know, lectures at the London School of Economics. And what's really funny about that is it is the same person. Like, 1 year is not enough to change any of my education, any of my preferences, any of my thoughts, any of my habits. 1 year isn't enough to make me a different person than I was. The difference is that once they say, oh, well, you know what you're doing, then you know, suddenly you have the legitimacy. And what cracks me up about it is that if this is the American dream, actually what depresses me about it is if this is the American dream, that you just wait and work really hard and then someday something entirely unrelated to the work that you're doing will come and swoop you out of your position and put you in a place where you're not worried about paying the rent, that's a frightening dream.
Well,
because everybody can't get a book deal, man. It's supposed to be,
you know
the work, you work hard, you come home, you've got enough money to put dinner on the table for your family and enough time to eat it with them, too. It's not supposed to be this all or nothing.
Well, you know what George Carlin used to say? He said, he is dead now, but when he was alive, he said, the reason they call it the American dream is that you've got to be asleep to believe it.
Yeah, and it's funny because we really do like to think that we live in a meritocracy. And one of the reasons, one of the common themes I'm seeing in reviews are people going, how is it possible that somebody that's capable of this kind of analysis could have been poor? And I'm like, honey, go into any kitchen in America, you'll find at least five of us.
Right,
True that.
I'm literally saying nothing different than everybody else, man.
Well, it's like, who have you talked to lately? Anybody? Oh, you don't talk to people in the kitchen. That's what that is.
That could be a little bit of it. The non-mixing.
I'm going to edge around the outskirts of propriety here. I gave a speech to a very, very large corporation that deals in food service.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the lecture, they all were, how can we find people like you? And I'm looking at them and I'm going, you run one of the biggest companies employing low-income people in the entire world. Like, you are a worldwide, what do you mean, where do you find me? Like, I went apoplectic. I couldn't actually get words out because just the question was so ridiculous. And I'm thinking, I don't know, sound guy, get up here. How much do you make an hour? Could ask him. Lady in the back refilling the coffee, how much do you make an hour?
Right.
She's a service worker. Like, we're in a giant hotel having a conference. Walk outside, find somebody in a uniform. That guy's a service worker.
just start talking to them. Yeah.
Right. Like, you can, and it actually went into my book at the end. I'm like, look, you can just talk to us like real people. Like, you could just come and have a conversation. It's cool, man. Like,
but the fact that they don't really belies the idea that the working poor are invisible.
Yeah.
You know, they only notice us when their coffee's not refilled.
And that is a true statement in a lot of cases. You know, I will say, that suddenly moving in these spaces with these people, I'm starting to understand a lot of the behaviors that always I just never really understood before. And I'm starting to understand that it is actually a guilt problem for a lot of people to interact with people that are working class, because the differences are so striking and inherent that it's almost like, you know, somebody that works at McDonald's passing a homeless person and just not being in the mood to deal with the broader societal problem of homelessness that day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, instead of stopping and talking to the dude, you just kind of stop. It's the exact same thing. It is the exact same thing. And I don't know what we do about that necessarily, but it's been an interesting observation where literally just having a conversation with somebody stands in for, let's have this broad societal, you know, discussion about what to do about income inequality, and that feeling is that like we're going to suddenly jump up and accuse them of being wealthy or something.
Right. Linda, thank you so much. We are going to talk with Teresa.
Speaking of money, we're going to
and Linda right now, the other Linda.
Funds, yes.
And stick around for a couple minutes. We'll be right back. And when we come back, if you could read from Why I Make Terrible Decisions or Poverty Thoughts, little excerpts, however you might want to do that, if you can this morning, I really want to hear it.
Sure.
Okay, great. And Teresa and other Linda, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's KBOO Portland, and we're here to get your money.
That's right. And we're here also to thank some of those who have already given their money. That's John in North Plains, a supporter, a renewer. Barbara in Lake Oswego also renewing. And Robert from Camas, a new member. Thank you all for joining this morning. Yay, we love you. And it's time for you to become one of those people. We'd love to call your name out as well.
Wow.
It's 877-500-5266. You know, this has been a really important program so far, and I love the down and dirty straightforwardness of it. You know, I grew up in what I call educated poverty. My mother was a professional, and nonetheless, she was supporting three kids, and we couldn't get more than one pair of shoes a year. And we didn't have enough food to eat towards the end of the month. And I know how hard it was being pregnant and poor. So this book, I think, is really important in educating all of us who both bounce in and out of poverty, but maybe those of us who've never been into poverty and don't realize what it is, or those of us who've been in it and want a different look at how it feels to be in poverty. You can get this book for a minimum pledge of just $5 a month or a one-time $60 pledge. It's Hand to Mouth, Living in Bootstrap America by Linda Tirado. It's really, I think this subject is so important, and we avoid it in this country. I mean, how many politicians have actually even said the word poverty in the last couple election rounds? I think there's just been one.
Oh, it's impossible.
It was Edwards. Edwards talked about it, and then he slept with all, you know,
well,
and he ruined
Steinbeck
everything.
Well, it's like Steinbeck said, we're all supposed to be embarrassed millionaires, temporarily embarrassed millionaires, but we know this isn't the case. Truth is empowerment, isn't it? That's why you listen to KBOO, and this book is very essential truth, and I think that you will be greatly served by having a copy, Hand to Mouth, Living in Bootstrap America, by Linda Tirado. And while I was looking at the preview on a certain website, it occurred to me that a great adjunct to that is KBOO Radio, and another great adjunct would be the Debt Resistors Operations Manual, which you can get for free by looking up right now. But you need this book, and the reason you need this book is because it's telling the truth, and it gets you out of this framework where you're trying to think of, you're really trying to, you know, be with the flow and think of yourself as middle class. Come on, middle class. I'm just the food's not stretched until the end of the month. No. We're all working poor. Okay. I mean, if that's what's happening, then you're working poor, and you need this book. And $5. Hey, that's a bus ticket. You can do it.
877-500-5266 is the number to call. 877-500-5266. We have a $1,000 goal to raise this morning here for Positively Revolting. This is how we keep independent media. This is how we keep KBOO on the air. We do it with your help. We are the grassrootsiest radio station around. 80% of our money comes directly from you, our listeners, because you know it's important to have independent voices in the media. You know it's important to have community members like yourselves actually having access to the airwaves so that we can bring us actual truth with each other. We can have real discussions. We can broaden the public discourse. And we can make real social change together. That's what we're about here at KBOO. Give us a call, 877-500-5266, or online at kboo.fm.
That's right. You know, you want to hear those phones ringing off the hook behind us. And if you're a person who can give, you know, $60 a year and ask for this book for yourself or for a friend, that is a great thing to do. You can get it for only $5 a month. But maybe you're the person who can give $50 a month. We really want you to call in and become a member as well. Or if you're already a member, come in and increase your membership dues, what you pay.
You can get a hoodie for $50 a month.
Yeah, that's
a hoodie for $20.
I know. That's what I mean.
Hoodie, if you recall, that was the hoodie worn saying we're all Trayvon Martin, I believe, was the young man who had been killed that time, with the excuse being a black hoodie. You know, but here we're bringing you radio that's absolutely important, and you're hearing it this morning, Friday morning. I know this is one of the shows that I tune into every week because I love to hear Ani and Lynn. And so it's important that you show your support for them during this program. Don't let it slip past you. It'll go really fast. It always does. It's 877-500-5266. And now let's go back to Ani and Linda the guest.
All right. Well, thank
Hello,
you.
Linda the guest.
Hello.
The other Linda.
Linda Tirado, our guest
this
morning
on
Positively Revolting.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Linda. Let's go ahead and hear a little of the comments that you posted that started this all.
Yeah, well, I'm going to admit to a technical error here. I can't get my phone to load it, but let me tell you what I said.
Okay.
I know this one.
I figured you do.
What I actually said was that it is exhausting and demoralizing. And we at the bottom, those of us in the kitchen, those of us grinding two and three jobs and raising our children, we know that we will never not feel tired. We will never get a vacation. We do not get days off. We do not have the luxury of hope, of comfort, of stability. And when you see people making decisions that you judge from the outside to be wrong, understand that we are looking for a little bit of connection, a little bit of comfort. It might not be the wisest idea to sleep with more than one person over the entire course of your life, but you have no idea how strong the need to feel beautiful, to feel powerful, to feel accepted for once in your life is. Or when people use drugs, you have no idea how strong the pull to not feel that kind of wrenching sameness all the time, just constant worry and constant stress. And the need to escape that for 5 minutes is not something that you are allowed to judge unless you are feeling that same kind of pressure. When we smoke, it's because we need 5 minutes to ourselves. And in a lot of workplaces, smoking is the only way to get that break. Beyond that, it makes me feel better. It's a quick hit of dopamine. It's all sorts of good things that I can't get when I can't see a pharmacist or a doctor or a shrink on demand to deal with the stress that I have to deal with in my life. When we go to mental health providers, they tell us to sleep and eat properly and have less stress. And we have to laugh and say, I'm sorry, did I just waste an hour and actually the amount of money I'm paying you to tell me this very basic thing that I clearly would do if I could handle it? But our lives don't allow that. And so when you see somebody and you think to yourself, should I judge this person or not? The answer is always going to be no. Because we are exhausted. We are the ones bearing this recovery. We are the ones allowing this recovery to happen by not demanding our fair share, by not demanding what we have earned even. And no, you don't get to look at an entire group of people who are doing more than their fair share, who are working harder than most people who look at us and call us lazy would be willing to do, and for less money, and say, you don't get to participate. You can never have a nice thing. Wear your hair shirt properly or we're going to judge you. That's not how a society works, and not all of us are going to sit down and take it anymore. It is about time we reclaimed our dignity. It is about time we allowed ourselves to be human and forgave ourselves for the impulse to be human. It is not your fault if you can't find a job in a climate where there are 2 jobs for 100 applicants. I mean, sure, you could have been one of the top 2, but let's look at reality. If you are one of the 98, that is no fault of yours. And that is, in so many words, what the essay was.
Yes, and that is Linda Tirado. You're listening to Positively Revolting here on your community radio station, KBOO. I'm Ani.
I'm Lynn.
And, you know, you can keep in touch with Positively Revolting throughout the week on Facebook. You can like our page. You can also keep up with us on the Twitters at Positive Revolt. You can email us at positivelyrevolting@gmail.com. Linda, those are such powerful words, and your perspective is so welcome. You know, it's how do I say, it's like a balm, you know, as somebody who has...
So do you mean a B-O-M-B or a B-A-L-M?
Actually, all of the above, okay. Depending on the side of the...
I like both.
Yeah, yeah, all of the above, depending on the side of the class fence that you're sitting on. It's, you know, as somebody who has faced those attitudes in the grocery store, buying things that other people couldn't fathom one could get on public assistance. What?
And what are you doing with a phone? I love that one. Or what are you doing with children?
Well, yeah, that's, oh, I think, where we're going to go next.
What on earth are you doing with children?
Listen, the number of times I've taken radio call-ins and people say, justify having children, and I go, oh, this is my favorite. You see, my husband and I, who were on the GI Bill, got jacked up by the VA, which led to a catastrophic series of events, which is how I wound up impoverished and with children. So let's talk about veterans care, shall we?
Absolutely.
And then, you know, funny, that question goes away. But more than that, how dare you?
I know.
How dare you?
I have seen a bumper sticker, because that's how I tell what people are thinking. I look at bumper stickers that says, if you can't feed them, don't breed them. And
yeah. So here's what I got to say to that. It takes $280,000 to take a child from birth through college in the middle class right now. If we're about to start judging on who can afford what, I think I'm going to need a certified trust for every single child born in America saying that their parents have $250,000 in the bank, just because if the poor are meant to be uniquely psychic and know that they're forever going to be stuck in this job or that something catastrophic is going to happen and push them into a poverty situation, I'm going to need to know that everybody else in the country is being as circumspect and as careful. And if you're not, why don't you care about your children?
You tell them, Linda.
Oh, I love that one.
One of the things you do, too, that I love is so you sort of redefine the class system in the best I've seen it since Marx, kind of, where you say poverty, is when a quarter is a blanking miracle. Poor is when a dollar is a miracle.
You might as well just skip the blanking parts and just read it.
Okay, broke? No, I can't do that. FCC will fine us because we're not a terribly wealthy station. More money than we can afford. Broke is when $5 is a miracle. Working class is being broke, but doing so in a place that might not be quite so run down. And middle class is being able to buy some toys and live in a nice place. And by nice, I don't mean fancy. I mean that you can afford to buy your own furniture and not lease it. And that while you still worry about bills, you aren't constantly worried about being homeless. And rich is anything above that. Thank you very much, Linda.
Yeah, but it seemed as good as anything else. I mean, we have these definitions. People that are $30,000 a year think they're middle class, and so do people at $300,000.
It's
so
a Kool-Aid.
Clearly what we're defining is, like, just useless as far as matters.
It's true. And it's funny because no matter where you are in that spectrum, I'm, hearing from people who are relatively well off, talking about what a struggle it is to make ends meet. And it's an interesting perspective.
They have different ends.
Yes, I think that's it.
I have one friend that says it's all about zeros.
They meet in different places.
And I can say I see where they get it, because look, I sold the book. 34% of that has gone to taxes, just off the top.
Right.
And me personally, I'm like, oh, thank God, let's get more roads. Can I pay more taxes? That'd be great. But I'm coming at it from a perspective of somebody who has always, been very aware of what the system does for an average citizen.
Well,
and I can see people thinking, oh, I haven't benefited at all, because you don't see the tax breaks and you don't see the quiet institutional racism of having a nice school in the white area, and you don't see all of those things as having been provided for you, and then you feel like you're just paying into the system for all these people. And if you really sit down with people and you say, look, but you've had this and this and this and this, and that's all from, sweet, sweet government cheese, like the home mortgage tax deduction or business lunch deductions, you get all sorts of free stuff. And they're like, oh, right, okay. But that's not generally the prevailing attitude, I would say.
Yeah, you mention, actually, in the book how... when it comes to infrastructure, when it comes to taxes, how, again, middle class and higher than comfortable classes don't tend to see that infrastructure. But those of us, again, in the working class and poor neighborhoods certainly see the lack of infrastructure, so that the public monies that are there tend to maintain the roads, the parks, and the schools in the better parts of town, while, the area of town I live in is full of, quote, roadways not improved, end quote, otherwise known as, unless you've got some kind of high suspension car, don't even try it, because you're going to high center.
Right. It's four-wheeling going
like on. All of Detroit, all of Oklahoma.
It's
car killers. In D.C., they have solar-powered trash compactors in Roslyn, Virginia, right over the river in the metro. And in Anacostia, which is the lower income section of town, their trash is generally delayed by a day or two just to pick up the regular trash, versus solar powered trash compactors and literal actual waste containers just for your dog, which
That's
are
how
posted
special
all over.
Is that? That is so sweet.
And I wonder how much we're paying some dude to literally wander around and pick up rich people's dog's crap instead of, changing the trashes in the actual human areas on the other side of town.
Well, we're probably not paying them much more than minimum wage.
I was going to say, I'm probably not paying them enough.
That's true. A job that awful, it's probably low paid, yep.
Yep, you gotta know it. Because it does seem to be an inverse correlation between how awful is your job and how little you get paid. I just,
you know, it's funny. I keep telling people, like, I haven't done any work since I've left the kitchen. And this really enrages people in kind of the creative and professional classes, because clearly I'm denigrating their work. I'm like, no. This is difficult. Like, I spent a lot of energy on what I do for a living now, but I have yet to have to clean a public bathroom as part of the normal course of duties now. Like, I'm sorry. It's just not work in the same way. Like, I can work in my pajamas drinking heavily. That's not actually work.
I hear you. You know, I got to figure, you know, the hotel maids always have my biggest respect. I think that must be about the worst job ever. But that's a whole nother thing. We're going to go right now to talk to Teresa and Linda and say, hey there. How are we doing this morning?
Hey there.
We're doing great, aren't we, Linda?
Yeah, we've gotten a start. We have a couple people to thank. It's Nikki from Portland, a brand new member. Nikki,
Awesome. Thank you, Nikki.
Thank you for joining. And Angela, who doubled her electronic funds transfer.
Whoa.
You know, that's for those of you out there who are members and have a monthly electronic funds transfer happening. Say you're giving $5 or $10 a month. What Angela did is a great way to do it. I've done it myself, is add on a couple dollars a month or add on $5 a month to what I'm already giving. Coming out monthly is easier for me to budget. But to do any of that, you need to pick up your phone right now at 877-500-5266. Let's hear the phones ringing, supporting Nikki and Angela and all the hundreds, I would assume, of people who have already become members this pledge drive.
You know, that's how I started off years ago. Oh, my goodness, that's a number of years now. When I first started donating to KBOO.
It's because you're old now, Teresa.
It's true.
She doesn't look old.
I know.
I started off at $5 because $5 actually is our minimum EFT, electronics funds transfer. And don't let that all those syllables scare you, because it's really easy to do. You call 877-500-KBOO, 877-500-5266.
And, 5266. Yes. That's 500-5266.
And when you do, I mean, it's 3 minutes on the phone. It's a bus fare per month. You can probably do that. And you need this book. I need this book. I mean, this is an empowering book. It's got the truth in it. And that's why you listen to KBOO, because truth is empowerment. I encourage you to call. And what I was going to say is, I have upped my pledge over the years, and now I pledge $20 a month. And so I'm eligible, and they're going to have to give me a hoodie. And,
Ooh, so yay, that's exciting. You can do that too.
Call us 877-500-5266, and I'm just going to get my hoodie, and I'm going to wear my hoodie.
I'm going to like my hoodie. And I'm just going to go ahead and describe for a second that the hoodie actually has, you can see it on our website. If you go to kboo.fm, you can also join on our website at kboo.fm.
Really quick and easy to do, by the way. The hoodie has
a graphic on the left front breast area.
Significantly left.
That's... I hadn't thought of that, Teresa. That's a tower. It's the radio tower. It's got this like brilliant cog, red star and lightning bolts. It's kind of post-Soviet-y. And it says KBOO Community Radio on the bottom. It is, you know, we are here for the workers. We are here for the people. We are here to empower communities, to give each other direct information, relevant information, news you can use, and music that actually inspires us and helps us get through that work week that we have.
Oh, God. And you know what? Listen to this. We only have 4 of the books left. So people have been calling in and getting these books.
877-500-5266 is how you can get one.
That's right. And it's, the name of that book is Hand to Mouth, Living in Bootstrap America by Linda Tirado. I love the way she's been talking about the realities of being poor. I've been in and out and in again of poverty in my life. And I, you know, I can remember having to put cardboard in my shoes. I'm not having to do that right now, but it's important to tell the truth about it and the shame associated with it. I can remember feeling a bit ashamed when I was really poor and I couldn't wear appropriate clothes to, like, once I was given a ticket to the ballet and I didn't have clothes that seemed even close to appropriate to wear. And, you know, some people would say, well, it's silly to be embarrassed when you're poor, but that's part of this culture that makes you feel like you have somehow failed if you don't have enough money. So pick up that phone right now at 877 877-500-5266. If you're one of those with lots of money, please give to the extent that you can. It really makes a difference. If you're one of those that's in the, you know, you're feeling poor at this time, you can get a low-income membership for just $20 altogether. And you can also give a $20 to KBOO for scholarships for people who can't afford the full membership. So pick your way of doing it, but don't hold yourself out from being a participant and being a member of this KBOO radio that you get to listen to.
Me, I'm filthy rich. I'm a bus driver, so I pay $20 a month, and you can too.
I wouldn't say filthy rich, but okay. let's just say as a bus driver, just we filthy. Are far more comfortable than we ever had been before. Working class, union wages. There you go.
And there are some of those jobs still around. And then for many of us who have, you know, professional, have educations, have been professionals in the background, there just aren't jobs that pay well left to us. There's contract work where we pay 50%.
877. I'm just going to go ahead and throw in that number.
877.
500-5266. Thank you, Linda. Thank you, Teresa, so much. We will be back with you. 877-500-5266 or KBOO.FM. I want to talk about job experience, actually. We were sort of going there in the middle of our membership opportunity moment, as I like to refer to it. But you mentioned, Linda, that, you know, there are many ways that middle-class people sort of move ahead, move upwards. And one of them is by taking unpaid internships, for example. And
oh, man.
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
We're going to get
unpaid
you started.
Internships you actually have to pay for are the new thing.
Yeah, right.
Apparently, like, I was reading an article about how now you have to go overseas and do a semester because, you know, everybody's got a spare 10 grand kicking around over their college expenses.
Right.
You know, but really what it all comes down to is devaluing labor and valuing profits above everything. There are very few companies in this country that would not still make a profit if they paid a decent wage to all of their people, interns included. But that would cut down their quarterly earnings and their shareholders wouldn't be happy. And when we as a country sort of lost track of the long term, that's when you started seeing unpaid internships where you don't actually learn anything, but you do make a lot of copies. And things like that, we're actually starting to see people take these claims to the EEOC and win class action lawsuits because they're supposed to be legal protections. An internship is supposed to be like a very short apprenticeship where you come in, you kind of shadow somebody, and maybe you help them out with, you know, a few rote tasks that they come across in the course of their work, but you're supposed to be learning. That's the point, is it's supposed to be professional experience.
You're not just supposed to be filing and collating?
You have to have. Right, and you're supposed to have now two or three of these things on your resume. Like, people look at me and say, oh, you worked in politics, and so, you know, you must be fairly influential or well-off. And I say, no, I knocked doors for, like, $8 an hour and worked my way all the way up to volunteer director before I found that because I could not go to the trainings, I could not take internships, I couldn't take unpaid work, that the majority of people moving into any profession these have to. I mean, I graduated high school in 1999, so this is, you know, an inherently millennial problem really to face, but you have to have all of these things on your resume before you can even think about getting a professional job. And if you can't afford the upfront cost of working for no money, you may as well just give up and go home. I mean, I struggled for 4 years trying to make a career for myself, supporting it bartending, supporting it working tables, and it never went anywhere because I lacked all of these things that everybody else had because they had credit cards or their parents to rely on. And I think that more than that, a lot of people don't understand how much professional socialization happens in college and happens in those young years, where now I'm dealing with professional environments and contracts and business emails, and I just don't even have the first clue what I'm doing. And thank God I came up overnight publicly as poverty chick because nobody expects me to know those things. But it goes back to that shame where if I had not had all of this stripped away and if I hadn't had to be so open and so public just because of the way, you know, life turned out,
I would absolutely be trying to hide my class background. I would absolutely be trying to fit in. And there's all these tiny things, like down to how you adjust your clothes before you sit down, that are these normalized class behaviors. And so even when we make it to the professional job, assume we get through all of that, we get to the professional job, then you spend all of your time kind of worrying that you're not doing it properly. And the thing is, you're probably not, and people really do notice those things. So it's a question of, should we be ashamed of our background? Is there any shame in doing a hard day's work? And if so, where does that come from? Why are we so ashamed? One of the reasons I have an audience is because I am the crazy lady that takes her teeth out on the internet to talk about dental care when people start going a little too crazy. And the number of emails that I get from people saying, you say what I would say if it wasn't such a risk for me. And I think I understand that completely because I felt the same way. But my God, it is so freeing to stand up and say, no, I didn't manage to succeed in the system that was set up to make sure that a majority of people don't. No, I didn't. Right. I'm one of the majority. The people who should be ashamed of their backgrounds are the people who are actually benefiting from the system and don't notice it. Those are the people that should be ashamed. We are decent human beings. We're just working.
One of the things you talk about in an article that I was reading about you is that you miss the camaraderie of one of the things you miss about not being poor. And it sounds like since you're writing, that is tends to be kind of an isolating profession. And also, as my observation is that when people start as going up the quote up the ladder, up the echelon, that it is more isolating because people are all so worried about doing whatever right, and the camaraderie of like being in the kitchen. Or I'm a hairdresser. I mean, you know, we can talk about clients to each other. We can, though I don't like working with a lot of people, but just having someone to talk to. You are each other's therapist in a way.
Yeah, and the thing is that you can, like, look, if you're working in a restaurant, I guarantee you at least once a shift, somebody's going to be like, all right, man, I don't get paid till Friday, and my electric bill's due on Wednesday. And everybody is like, oh, man, that sucks. Yeah, this, that, and the other. You know, or you complain about your child care, like, oh, my babysitter called off and it threw my entire day into chaos, and everybody is like, yup, pretty much. And there's this kind of sense of communal... just we all have these same parameters and we all have these same problems. And the higher up the income ladder you go, the less people talk about money. They just don't ever talk about money, ever, for any reason.
Well, it isn't done.
And that's actually, right, but it's so common, like in the bottom, like in the working classes, dude, we're constantly like, oh, God, I had to go enroll my kids in this thing, it costs this much, and now, you know, how are we supposed to do this, that, and the other? And there is none of that. And with that kind of openness about something that intensely personal with the money, you get this openness that also comes to your relationships, and it goes to your struggles and your problems, and everybody can kind of commiserate. Those things never happen because the impetus when you have the money and you have some measure of success, you're supposed to appear calm, cool, and in control at all times. And the slightest slip of that control could be a thing that kills you professionally.
It's like a
and
predator
so that's
mentality.
The pressure they live with.
It's like a predator mentality.
Is.
Yeah, you can't talk about it. If you are slipping in money, you can't tell other people that because that chips away at the facade.
If the marriage isn't perfect, you can't, I mean, it's
and
it's
no one
everything.
Can tell if your marriage isn't perfect, right?
Right, right. But it,
don't
it
talk
comes
about
down
it.
To, like, how many politicians trotting their spouses out do you honestly think have, like, a beautiful stress-free marriage in the middle of a campaign? That doesn't happen. Nor does it happen that somebody's going to spend 80 hours a week at work working on some contract and their spouse isn't going to be a little upset about, you know what I mean? Like,
oh, yeah.
These lives are just set up so differently. And I found that you can't go to a party and talk about your life. You have to go to a party and talk about literature. Like, that's it. That's your option. You can talk about, you know, socially approved topics. And I kind of miss the freewheeling, just being able to be yourself. It doesn't, I mean, and maybe it looks different if you were raised to it. I don't know. All I know is that I absolutely cannot go to a thing at my publisher and start talking about that time I worked at the pig farm. Like, you just don't do that.
Too bad. They're missing out on some good stories.
You know, I will say Johnny Ernst came up, and for, you know, I'm a liberal and she's conservative and whatever, but I almost was like, that's right, you worked at a pig farm. You bear those clippers proudly. Like, you carry on. I like that one you can have. Like, and it was so refreshing, and it cracks me up when people are like, I don't understand what the appeal is. And I'm like, do you know how many millions of us have worked at a pig farm for 2 weeks at one time before we couldn't hack it? She lasted years, man. That chick's a warrior.
Or a sadist. One of the two.
I think we could go on all sides of that spectrum working at a pig farm, actually. There's a little self-loathing in there.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Well, we have a caller. I just wanted to tell that we have a caller that wanted to let us know. She's off the line, but her son got laid off from Wendy's, and he's really happy about it because his body hurts so much.
Yeah.
And I remember reading about someone who had worked at Amazon and said she didn't care that she got laid off because she couldn't take it one more minute. Or
so
fired. I can't remember which one.
Hold job. Because they are too guilt-ridden to quit, that are actually killing them. Amazon actually keeps its workers in warehouses that during the summer would get so hot that they actually started stationing an ambulance outside for heat stroke because they wouldn't open the bay doors in case people started stealing things. They would literally rather have people falling down ill because of their work conditions than they would take that minor risk and put metal detectors or armed guards. And the other Amazon thing that's beautiful is that a bunch of workers were being forced, temp workers for Amazon, were being forced to stay after their shifts by 20 to 40 minutes so that Amazon could search them and their bags. But they were refusing to pay them for that time because they said it wasn't work-related. The case finally makes it to the Supreme Court. This is in the spring of last year. Clarence Thomas makes the majority ruling that this isn't a labor issue. This is a collective bargaining issue. And I think to myself, okay, A, these are temp workers. B, you're a union buster. C, I'm sorry, since when did not being paid for time spent working turn into collective bargaining? Like, let them eat unions? Really? That's the answer we get, is let them eat unions. And you just, you know,
it's called wage theft.
It's exhausting.
Yeah, David K. Johnston calls that wage theft, among other people.
No, it absolutely is. And look, I was a manager at a fast food joint. I can tell you how closely timed all of that scheduling is. And it would kill me when I'd have to call somebody in last minute because we were going to be busy today unexpectedly and we weren't scheduled for it. And then 2 hours later, I got to send them home because we can't afford the labor. I mean, it was all dollar menu stuff today, guys. We just don't have the money to spare to pay people. And what that does is means that everybody else has to pick up more work. And this is, of course, all in industries where we don't get health care. And none of us are stupid enough to go to work, Matt, if we get injured at work. I mean, that's the quickest way to get fired. It's illegal, and they'll never fire you directly. But, man, about a month after you file that claim, they're going to find you were late to work 3 times in a row or something.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be gone.
They'll find a reason.
Ain't nobody stupid enough to go to the hospital when they get hurt at work unless it's a seriously major accident.
Right.
I had a woman who cut herself, was diabetic, wound up with a septic finger working in a food service industry.
Oof.
Until I had to pay out of my pocket to send her to the hospital because she just refused to go. She couldn't afford it. I mean, and that's reality for millions of
people.
That's
reality. Let's go ahead and welcome Teresa and Linda back to the airwaves and check in. Hello, 877-500-5266. I hear that's the number to call this morning to join KABU Community Radio and support us.
That is the number, 877-500-5266. Right, Linda?
That's right. That's the number. And we have some people to thank. You know, we're a little over halfway towards our goal for this show. We have 15 more minutes, so please don't stop calling, 877-500-5266. I want to thank Sunny from Portland. She added to her original pledge, and Tiffany from Portland, a new member. Yay, Tiffany. We always give extra yays and thank yous to the new members.
Oh, we like the old members too.
We do. We love them.
One is silver and the other's gold.
Yeah, that's there we have it.
They're both wonderful. And then Heather, a renewing member, and as well as that Pat, a regular member who added an additional $20 so that someone else can have
payphone?
A scholarship.
Payphone, Pat?
I didn't see payphone before the name, but I don't know. But, you know, it's wonderful that you guys are responding. You know, the books have been going. People really appreciate what they're hearing, and they care about it because it's real. It's truthful, and it's not, you know, I'm not depressed by hearing it. I'm enlivened by hearing Linda Tirado and her discussion about what life is really like. It's refreshing to have the, you know, the veneer of middle classness sort of pulled back, and let's be honest. If you like that kind of radio, and I'm certain you do, it's 877-500-5266 to become a member and support these broadcasts.
Is it the revolution yet? 877-500-5266. And you can get yourself a hoodie for $20 a month by calling us right now, upping your pledge or starting your pledge. Why not? 877-500-5266. That's a black zip-up hoodie. It's so new and soft and has new artwork on the left chest, 6 inches high of a radio tower with a red star on the top of the tower. You know, I love that sort of art because, you know, we don't, okay, come on, we all hate Lennon, right? But that art, man, we know it scares the crap out of certain people. And that's the fun of it, right? And plus, it just feels good. Remember all those massive arms holding wrenches? Well, there's some of that in this artwork, and it's on a black hoodie. And what more can I say? And you'll enjoy having the hoodie. 877-500-5266, 877-500-5266.
That is the number, and that is the number for you to call if you're out listening to this radio station. You can hear all the goings-on behind us. If you'd like to, you can just drive down or ride your bicycle over on this rainy morning to 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. That's where KBLO is, and we'll take you on a tour. You'll get to meet the people answering the phone. But in the meantime, let's keep them busy. We're about halfway to our goal for this hour, so that means you need to call right now. Don't wait to the end. Let's get us all the way there. You know, for $240 membership, and how much is $240 a month?
We call it $20
a month. That's right. Ooh, good. I would say
she
division.
Does the math.
You can do the math. And, you know, it's that lovely hoodie that Teresa was just talking about. We have lots of other gifts, though. Give at the level that you can.
You know, I got to say, as somebody who has never really been, let's say, well off, I could never come up with $100 to give to community radio at once.
Mm-hmm.
But I have been contributing in a monthly manner for many, 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 many years. And it makes it so much easier to give $5 than to come up with $60 all at once. It makes it so much easier to come up with $7.50 than to come, you know. So that is, in fact, how I do it. I would encourage you, my friend, to do the same. Please do give a monthly, a sustaining membership, and participate in your community radio, because you keep independent media independent so that we can continue producing shows that edify, that broaden the public discourse, that create social change. That's what our goal is here, especially here on Friday mornings on Positively Revolting. We are here to create social change. And that is, in fact, one of the inherent values of KBOO, your community radio station. We are here to bolster peace, justice, democracy, multiculturalism, environmentalism, freedom of expression, and social change.
Way.
Well, I'm just saying that those are actually written into our program charter, Teresa.
Well, and that's
and those are the
get.
Values that we broadcast, and that's why you're connecting with us. So please support us. 877-500-5266. Thank you very much. We'll check back in just a couple, because I got to know how we're doing. But meanwhile, we are running out of time with Linda. And there's a couple other things I just got to get to. One of them being, and you hit on this in the original essay, that judgmentalism that one encounters, that is the attitude of, why can't the poor just take better care of themselves? Look at the crap they eat, they smoke, they drink, and they have sex. What is going on with those people? As if the poor were the only smokers, drinkers, and sex havers, first of all. But could you just extrapolate a little bit more on that attitude?
Yeah, well, the first thing I'm going to say is that there are such a thing as high-end sex clubs, and I'm pretty sure no service workers are patronizing those. So let's just put paid to the idea that the poor are uniquely full of vice, okay?
Uh-huh. Thank you.
And Secondly, George Orwell in like 1910 something wrote a book called Down and Out in London and Paris, and basically he said all the same things. Is, you know, we look at poor people and we ask them, well, how can you justify that twist of tea? How can you eat this canned meat? How can you do all of these things? And the answer is poor people have always coped, period. That's why you have in, you can get like a bodice ripper Victorian novel. You're going to hear about pasty stalls because the poor yep. have always eaten convenience food because we have always had the longest hours. We've always had the least time to deal with the niceties. And it's well and good to tell me to eat nothing but fresh fruits and vegetables, but A, my grocery bill is going to go up. B, a lot of time, it's actually just as healthy to eat frozen or canned. And C, frozen and canned stays. It's all well and good for me to buy fresh food. I get an extra shift and don't cook it. It goes bad. Who's the stupid one?
Mm-hmm.
You know? So you've got all of these different things. And the whole point is that if you have never sat down and thought about the economics of it, don't start talking like you understand the economics of it. I don't understand like the intricacies of Glass-Steagall, and I wouldn't talk about it as though I did. And so the hubris that it takes for otherwise intelligent, educated people to look at a situation that's clearly fraught with tension and all sorts of, you know, quandaries and things coming into it and say, oh, I understand that. I think to myself, wow, you're a lot dumber than you think you are, aren't you? It's sad, but there you are, is that you, all of these things have absolutely rational explanations. They are all done in response to stimuli. They are all decisions that we make within the parameters that we're given. If you give me a bad choice and a worse choice, and I choose the bad one, you don't get to look at me and say, well, why didn't you choose something objectively good? I have a choice between a McDonald's double cheeseburger and some mac and cheese at home. Does it really matter which one I pick? Really? Really? Is it going to change anything? Is that 1 week of eating healthy going to change the fact that I'm probably going to be making about this wage level or less, depending on inflation, for the rest of my life? Should I not get used to my station? And that's what people keep saying is, oh, no, you're getting comfortable. Don't do that. You're not allowed any comfort. No routines for you. No easy decisions. Everything has to be difficult. Say no at all times. Never allow yourself to be human. And that's the thing that I fight hardest against. All of these other things come back to you again and again. Why aren't you just better? Why aren't you above average? And I ask, what's wrong with being average? Why do you have to have superior intellect to succeed? Where are the jobs for folks who just want to go to work, earn their money, and then come home and play in their garden all afternoon? Or read philosophy or develop some talent? Like, what is wrong with being an average person? When did we start prioritizing above average and make that the norm and anybody below it is just terrible somehow? Do you even know how math works at that point? Because that's what average is. Average
right.
is the majority. That's what math is. So don't look at me with your fancy math degree and then tell me you understand math when you can't figure out that a minimum wage check doesn't cover more than convenience food and that smoking or drinking is probably our only vice. And we don't actually spend that much because, as it turns out, when I came under fire for smoking, people were like, I don't know how you can afford it. And then I went to New York City and saw their prices and said, hell, I don't know how they do either. But I know where I come from, near the Indian Reservation, it's $2.50 a pack. I mean, the entire country is not the same as New York City prices.
Right.
And so I think you get a lot of that, too, where people will look at their own situation in their own market and just assume that it's the same everywhere. And it isn't. America's a big country, you guys.
Yep,
it's a big
for sure.
country.
Linda, thank you so much for being with us this morning. If you have any final thoughts to leave us with.
I have two. One, you can find me on Twitter at Killer Martinis, and I do suggest
Great
that
name,
I ask
you.
People questions.
So that's Killer Martini. Okay, good.
Killer Martinis with an S. And the second is that, you know, I appreciate that you guys have hoodies and are giving out my books in exchange for donations, and that's fantastic. But the reason that everybody that is listening to this right now needs to donate is because we make no change unless we talk to each other. And if we allow indie media to go away, there is no outlet for us to talk to each other. and then we're giving in. So that is the reason that you need to pick up the phone and give these people some money, because they have people like me on their air. And if they've got me, they've got Barbara, they've got everybody else that's doing the work.
It's true. Thank you so much, Linda, for making the time to be with us this morning. We very much appreciate your work and wish you much continued success.
Absolutely. Thanks. Thrilled to be here. Thanks so much, guys.
All right.
Okay, bye-bye.
Cheers. And Teresa and Linda, we just have a couple minutes to entice people to grab a couple of those books so that you can share them around. It's true. The conversation is what matters. It's true. The platform to support all the panoply of shows that you get from KABU is what matters. But right now, you can get a little something extra, a little long yop, as we say. 877-500-5266. How we doing?
Excellent. Right, Linda?
Yes, we are. We have some people to thank. We have Damon from Portland, a brand new member.
Fantastic.
And we have Winona from Portland, a renewing member.
Fantastic.
And we have Deborah from Vancouver. You know, I haven't had the Coast weigh in
totally
yet.
Totally cool.
And thank you, all of you. I want to hear the Coast get in the, I haven't heard from Corvallis yet this morning either, but really, I just want any of you out there who have even the slightest little urge to pick up that phone to do it right now. You do make the difference. The way that we get this word spread, the way we get this wonderful author, Linda Tirado's voice out there, is with your dollars paying for the electric bill. It's basically straight up like that. It's 877-500-5266. Make a difference with your dollars, please, really, right now. You have a few more minutes to have us reach our goal. We're on the way. We're not there yet.
877-500-5266. You can be a part of the locomotive that gets us there.
That's right.
Absolutely. You can do it. With your help, we can do this.
We are the little community radio station that could, but we can only do it with you.
877-500-5266. Don't you love the smell of a brand new t-shirt? Well, you can have KABU.
You can have.
For only $5 a month, just getting your feet wet with the price of a bus fare and 3 minutes on the phone at 877-500-5266. I'm getting the wrap-up sign. Oh, my goodness. So that's got to be you.
You have to
that's
call now. Now.
877-500-5266 or online, kboo.fm. Drop by in person, 20 Southeast 8th. Come on in. See how your money is spent here on your community radio station. But the easiest thing for you to do is grab that phone and push those buttons, 877-500-5266. Connect with an actual human being this morning. Tell them that you appreciate independent media and you are a proud sponsor. You are a KABU member. 877-500-5266.
Comes a time when every second, every day, when every action, every thought will tell the world how you cast your vote.
This is KBOO Portland. The time is just about 9:01 a.m. Coming up on KABU,